We're going to begin the meeting with the roll call. We have Ms. Ella Arsenault, Mr. Eric, myself, Mr. Alan Moore, and our legal counsel, Mr. Stuart Burrow. And we're going to stand for prayer and invocation. So, Father, we thank you for this meeting tonight. Thank you for all the patrons that have gathered here today. We pray for wisdom and understanding as you lead us all forward. We ask for your guidance through your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. I'll pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Mr. Eric is going to read something to us.
I would like to announce the following. This is a public meeting. To address the Board of Control on any item on the agenda, please complete and submit the public speaker form prior to calling of the agenda item in order to have the opportunity to speak. Additional procedures and policies for addressing the board may be found on the public speaker form. Completed speaker forms and other items for submission to the board should be handed to Ms. Nancy Hebert, or designee, seated to the table to our right. When addressing the board, state your name, parish of residence, and title for the official record. All comments must pertain to library business in general and the action item being considered in particular. The 3-minute rule will be in effect. Members of the public are asked to remain quiet during the meeting to allow the board to conduct its business efficiently and to refrain from making comments while other members of the public are addressing the board from the podium. Anyone who willfully disrupts the meeting to the extent that the orderly conduct thereof is seriously compromised will be subject to removal in accordance with applicable law. Meeting procedures are governed generally by Robert's Rules of Order, but the presiding officer may deviate from Robert's Rules of Order when necessary, convenient, or desirable for the efficient proceedings of the meeting. Please silence all phones and electronic devices. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And we're going to move to the comments from the Library Board. And before I yield it to Mr. Allen. I do believe Mr. Roberts Judge. Today is his last meeting. So I just want to go on the record thanking Mr. Robert for his service for all these years and his volunteer service in helping the library board and library get to this point. So, Mr. Judge, I wish you were here to tell you thank you personally, but we certainly appreciate your time and your efforts to volunteer.
I second that.
Any comments from the Library Board?
Mr. President, if I may, I've got a few comments. I know that I'm on the comments section for a presentation, but before I move to the presentation, there are a few things I'd like to address in light of the things that have been going on. I apologize ahead of time. My voice is doing something weird, not real sure what it is, but I'll speak into the mic as clearly as I can. I think the violence that we've witnessed in our nation over the last few weeks is staggering. From the 23-year-old Ukrainian young lady, Miss Irene Zaruski, who via multiple stab wounds to the neck lost her life. The hotel manager, Mr. Sandra Meganelia, in Dallas that was brutally beheaded. And of course, as many of us are familiar with, Mr. Charlie Kirk, a man passionate in his desire to engage young people on college campuses in factual debate on important political life and spiritual issues for the express purpose of continuing this 250-year-old beautiful experiment that we call the United States of America. Charlie was martyred by an assassin's bullet through the throat for inviting others into conversation, inviting them to think critically and compare and contrast ideals and beliefs that shape our world. Charlie believed that when people stop talking, that's when things get violent, that when civil war happens because you start thinking the other side is so evil and they lose their humanity. Charlie laid down his life for his Christian beliefs and his political convictions, a belief in the principles that made America the great nation that it is, the greatest nation that the world has ever known, a belief that the First Amendment is not a privilege to be granted or revoked by a politician or government anywhere, but it is a right that each of us are born with, every one of us, all rooted in the precious words of our Declaration of Independence. That is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's one of the many beautiful things that I want to use as a reminder for us here from Charlie's life and his wonderful example. Everyone's opinion matters and deserves to be given an opportunity to state their beliefs. And all of it is to be weighed in the light of what is true, what is just, and what is righteous. When I was appointed to this board back in 2023, articles were written that says another pastor appointed to the Board of Control. Well, this is true. I do believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that God's word is what we should use for our moral, spiritual, and intellectual compass. I believe Jesus Christ is the all-satisfying treasure of my life, personally, according to Philippians 3 and 8. I believe and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for my salvation, according to Romans 10, 9 through 13. And I believe that God's word is what we should use as a supreme ethic, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. And if you'd like to talk more about that after, I'd love to talk to you after the meeting. But here's the beautiful part. This is the beautiful part. You don't have to agree with me. You don't. You don't have to agree with me. You're free to disagree. We give 3 minutes to anyone that wills for every motion that comes up to vote to stand at that podium and share what your opinions are. And above and beyond that, outside of the rules and regulations of open meeting laws, we give an additional 3 minutes at the end of every meeting for you to come and discuss any library business that you would like to discuss. Let's just do it all with a respect for one another, with a dignity, with an ardent desire to factually support what each one of our claims are, with the humility to stop and to intently listen to one another, to consider the facts and to make an informed decision based on what is true, what is just, and what is righteous. The disrespect, the name-calling, the violence, the laughing, the ridiculing, let's all stop and let's work together for the betterment of our community. We don't solve problems by silencing each other. We solve them by sharpening truth against error in the public square. This is our community. We make it what we want to make it. Let's all join together and steward this with passion and integrity and a genuine concern for the person that sits next to us, whether they agree with us or disagree with us. Let's come together and make our community a better place to live. Mr. President, at this moment, I'd like to ask for a silent moment of prayer to honor all of those that have lost their lives in recent memory, most recent of Charlie Kirk, as we remember all that they gave their life for and believed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you all for that. I'd like to address a few other items of concern. A few comments that Councilman Rubin made at the August 19th, 2025 Parish Council meeting. One can reference the quotes that I'm about to read to you from the website video.ibm.com/recorded/13447-2276. That is where LCG posts all of their meetings. The timestamp for this first one is 56 minutes and 33 seconds. While addressing crime concerns in regards to the placement of the new Northeast Regional Library, and I'm quoting Councilman Rubin here, he said the following: "Hello, we have security guards at every library right now as we speak, okay? And if we put the proper people in place at the library board, we can get rid of the extra security that we have at the library." The first claim in his statement is that we have security guards at every library. That is factually incorrect. We currently have a total of 9 library branches, and of those, we have police officers at 2, Main and Karen Crow, with another intermittent security guard at Butler, all which are paid for through the library's annual budget. Secondly, I'm calling on Councilman Rubin to explain what he meant by stating that if the proper people are put on the board, we can get rid of extra security. Councilman, are you asserting that the composition of the Board of Control determines the threat level and security posture of the Lafayette Public Library System? If you believe current board actions have increased risk to patrons, staff, media, or legal counsel, I call on you to immediately identify the specific actions, incidents, dates, and any law enforcement guidance that support those conclusions. As Vice President of the Board, I request that you contact me or the President at once so that this matter can be addressed with action. The Board's highest priority is to ensure that all who use the Lafayette Public Library System are able to attend meetings, use our facilities, and return home safely. Because the Library Board of Control derives its authority from the Parish Council, I respectfully request that the Parish Council provide immediate guidance, either remedying the claims that there are a threat or clarifying publicly that no such risks exist, so that the public and the staff can be assured of their personal safety. The third item that I'd like to address is comments by Councilman Boudreau. It's that same meeting, and so you can reference the same video at timestamp 1 hour and 47 minutes and 8 seconds. Councilman Boudreau stated, "Three library directors all told me in this room," that being the parish council, "you know, we've got the bookmobile marginalizing me again," close quote. For the record, the history of directors for the Lafayette Parish Library within the not-so-recent past is as follows. Director Teresa Elberson introduced the bookmobile in 2019. Mr. Danny Galane, our current director, became the director after Ms. Elberson left in March of 2021. Ms. Sarah Monroe then served as an interim director from August 2023 until her resignation in April of 2024, at which point Mr. Galane again resumed the role of director in May of 2024. Now, in conversations with Mr. Galane, he has confirmed directly that he has never made such a statement and would never make a statement minimizing an entire section of our community by suggesting that a mobile service is sufficient in place of a full-fledged library branch. While I cannot speak to any private conversations that Mr. Boudreau may have had with Ms. Elbertson or Ms. Monroe, the claim that three directors told him the bookmobile is enough is demonstrably false. Mr. Galane, have you ever told Mr. Boudreau that a bookmobile was enough to serve the north section of town? Let the record reflect that Mr. Galane said that he has not. So, Councilman Boudreaux, I therefore call on you for the following. Either provide the names, dates, and context of the three directors who allegedly made these statements, or issue a public correction so that our citizens, especially those in Northern Lafayette, are not misled into believing that the library leadership has dismissed their need for a permanent library branch. The truth is that Director Galane and this board have consistently supported the need for expanding services in Northern Lafayette. Any claim to the contrary undermines public trust and misrepresents the records of fact, which I will present further here on. Number four, I'd like to address the timeline for the Northeast Regional Library. I want to highlight the timeline from the Northeast Regional Library that was developed by Mr. Larry Angel, our operations manager, on December 14, 2021. I did confirm with Mr. Angel that that timeline was generated back then and has not been changed and updated as things have gone along. And so for the record, Mr. Angel, can you confirm that?
Minor edits would just identify where we were on the project. That would be it. The content stayed the same.
Contents and dates stayed the same. Thank you. So with that, I think it's important to understand that this timeline is posted publicly on our website at LafayettePublicLibrary.org. It's in the top right-hand corner. Click the link labeled Northeast Library Information and Updates. It's kind of a yellowish and gray. On that page, select the history and timeline estimate. That will pull up another page from our PowerPoint or our OneDrive, and it will show. And I encourage you all to go look this up and to look at the third page of the document. There you will see a green icon labeled "You Are Here," kind of like when you look at the little maps at the rec center. That green icon directly lines up with February 2025. Exactly as Mr. Angel projected 4 years ago. As you will recall, the board was holding this meeting to approve the suggested library on February 17th of 2025. This means that over the course of 4 years, the board was right on time with the original timeline estimates projected by Mr. Angel, and it's in the public domain for everyone to see. Please, I beg of you, go look at it. Go familiarize yourself with it. The fifth thing and final thing I want to address before we get to the presentation and celebrate the great things that have happened here at the library over the last few years is the Mayor President's comments in the LCG August 19, 2025 Parish Council meeting, which are posted also at thevideo.ibm.com. /recorded/134472276. First timestamp is at 51 minutes and 15 seconds. The mayor said, and I quote, "The reason it came to my attention is because the library board stood here and told me the library board indefinitely deferred the library. So while we had waited from 2019 to 2025 today, what the library board did that week was indefinitely defer. I was told they didn't mean it, but in legal terms and in government terms, you actually mean what you say when you take a formal action like that. So, in the delay, what the board has been doing since 2019 is jockeying the community back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We can talk about delay, but what I heard indefinitely, when I heard indefinitely delayed is when I stepped in, I being the mayor, stepped in and asked him, referring to the city attorney, what the disposition of this government was, that is our facility, the library board does not have the legal authority to open a checking account, much less own a building that we are liable for, and it's my name that goes on the contract. It's much bigger than a committee making a decision. It is a legal part of this government, of which I am the administrator," the mayor speaking, "and you are referring to the council, those that decide how this money is spent. So, we all have a higher level of responsibility when making decisions than any of the boards that we appoint. Sorry. Close quote. So I'd like to make a note that the mayor's comments that I'm about to read to you come right after Councilman Gilbo and also Mr. Danny Elaine are in a conversation. And Councilman Gilbo asks Danny Elaine, and I'm quoting him, "Is the project dead?" Close quote. To which Danny responds, open quote, "No, sir." Close quote. Councilman Gilbo continues, "What I understood from many calls is that they are looking for more information in order to make a sound decision in terms of which way to go." Close quote. Director Danny replied, quote, "Yes, sir." Close quote. Keeping that in mind, the first part of her comment, of the mayor's comment that I would like to address, is this part. The reason it came to my attention is because the library board stood here and told me the library board indefinitely deferred the library, close quote. Number one, I believe the mayor was referring to the library director, not the library board, but the library director stood there, being at the parish council, and claimed in that meeting on February 18, 2025, this video can be found in video.ibm.com/recorded/134233350 and at the timestamp 39 minutes and 39 seconds. The following conversation ensued. I beg of you to just bear with me because it's far time that we get fact and information exactly as it took place. Because it is in the public domain for everyone to go and see. I did the work and went and pulled the videos, pulled their destinations, pulled the actual timestamps for you to be able to go and pull this information yourself. So we start out, the mayor president speaking. "So I was not at the meeting, nor did I watch the meeting." She's referring to the meeting that we had the day before, where the library decision to build a library was postponed indefinitely. "I was not at the meeting, nor did I watch the meeting, but I am curious as to the nature of the concerns of the board as they would delay the library." The library director, Mr. Galane, responds, "They received a, well, one board member," and I apologize if it sounds like I'm breaking it up, I'm reading it as it was spoken. "They received a, one board member provided me with a spreadsheet Friday, and so the day before the weekend and asked if we could provide the information, and we managed to get it together." The mayor president asked, "What type of information?" The library director responds and says, "About comparing the existing libraries we have with the proposed library that we want to build." And so we managed to get all that information gathered together before the board meeting, but the board essentially only had a few hours. The mayor president says, "Are they looking to build a similar library, right? Is it what it is?" They are, library director responds, "The original plan was to build a 13,000 square foot library and current, and with a warehouse for the library. And current spending power of that money is about 12,000 square feet and no warehouse." So the committee, after the consultant, the committee came up with a very almost 20, 21,000 square foot library, if you incorporate everything that the public input indicated we wanted, and about 17,500 square feet of library based on what me and the library operations manager, Mr. Angel, put together and came up with to provide what we thought would be a good library. Also, we figured we would need to move approximately $4 million from our fund balance into the capital fund in order to build that library. But the committee, when they met, they voted for a larger library, and we hadn't really, the board had not really been exposed to that prior to the meeting. And so the extra cost would be about $2.5 million, which we have in the fund balance. The mayor president responds, mm-hmm. The library director continued, "And the operating costs would be a little higher than we thought it would be. And while we can afford it, the board never really saw those numbers prior to last night." The mayor-president asks, okay, and so the vote last night, what was the move, what was it to move forward with a particular plan? The library director responds, the vote last night on the original agenda was to consider which plan to move forward, but instead the vote was postponed making that decision. And they assigned me some more information to provide for them, and tomorrow morning I will be sending it to him, to them. Mayor President said, okay, great. We look forward to seeing how it progresses. Thank you. Library Director responded, all right. Mayor President said, again, thank you. So the second comment by the mayor that I would like to address is in her opening quote, is this. So while we had waited from 2019 to 2025 today, what the library board did that week was indefinitely defer. I was told they didn't mean it, but in legal terms and in government terms, you actually mean what you say when you take formal action like that, close quote. I would like to remind you that on the night of this meeting, which you can find on YouTube at the Lafayette Public Library channel in the video entitled 2025-0217 Library Board Meeting of Control, the following statements were made specifically addressing what it means to defer indefinitely. I'm going to go through multiple timestamps here. Please bear with me. At an hour and 15 minutes and 2 seconds, I personally make a statement that declares that I want to be crystal clear, quoting myself here, quote, if the data comes back and it says we need a 25,000 square foot library, I'm in favor of that. I'm not trying to minimize anything. I'm trying to make sure that we are providing the best service to our parish as we possibly can, while showing financial austerity, because that is what is going to ensure the longevity of this library and ensure the system for generations to come. Close quote. Mr. Judge, at 1 hour, 18 minutes, and 20 seconds, Judge reports on a motion, or makes a motion, to postpone indefinitely. He explains, and I quote, under Robert's Rules of Order, doing so would take it out of this meeting and place it on the agenda for another time. It has to do with technicalities with that or tabling it. You don't want to table it. Again, it's just a technicality, close quote. So Robert clarified right away that it just means it would be pushed to another meeting, not to kill the project. A quick search that anyone can do and confirm in Robert's Rules of Order defines postpone indefinitely as a subsidiary motion whose purpose is to dispose of a main motion without directly voting on it. It kills the motion for that session only. If the motion to postpone indefinitely passes, the main motion is disposed of for the duration of that session. However, it can be brought up again in a future meeting, i.e., again, it is not permanently killed. At 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 51 seconds in this video, Robert again explains what the motion to postpone indefinitely, and I quote Robert here, it simply takes it off of this meeting. That's all it does. At 2 hours, 17 minutes, and 50 seconds, we see an aggressive actor move toward the board by a patron approaching the dais and destroying library property and flipping things off of tables. Hence my appeal earlier. The disrespect, the name-calling, the violence must stop. We don't solve problems by silencing each other. We solve them by sharpening the truth against error in the public square, in unity. 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 20 seconds in. Mr. Daniel Kelly, the board president, asked our library director, how quickly can you have the data the board needs? Denoting that he wants to have a meeting to make a decision on the library size immediately. At 2 hours, 25 minutes, and 46 seconds, Mr. Judge explains that the board president can call a special meeting at any time, that he can put it into an agenda for the next meeting or a special meeting. He then explains, once again, the meaning of postponing indefinitely. Daniel Kelly at 2:27:56. The board president asks Danny if he can get this data to us within the next couple of days. And I quote Mr. Kelly here, "We're going to see if we can have a meeting at least by Monday of next week or Tuesday of next week." Finally, 2:29:10, Ms. Ella, she asks for operational costs for the library as an additional data point needed to make a decision. She says she doesn't want to see the library go back to where it was and not be able to support all of its open branches. So in review of these sections, you might be sitting there saying, Alan, why are you presenting us with these endless timestamps and all this information? Because these are the facts as laid out that speak clearly for themselves. To anyone listening or to anyone willing to inquire, to go out and to look the video up, to honestly pick up the phone and ask a question of a board member, what does it mean to be deferred indefinitely? It is the evidence that there was never a real controversy. The library board's intent was simply to gather the necessary information so that we could make the best, most responsible decision for our community. Something apparent to anyone in the meeting, anyone that cared enough to go back and watch the meeting, or pick up the phone and call a board member and inquire as to why the vote didn't happen on the night of February 17th, 2025. Furthermore, all of the claims of delay, dragging feet, resistance to building a new library are proven and patently false. The confirmed project timeline, as shared with you momentarily ago, on our website and the very quotes being cited demonstrates that the board has been working consistently and deliberately toward this goal. At no point did the board act to obstruct progress. Rather, it sought clarity and data to ensure wise stewardship of taxpayer funds. The record shows that the board was acting squarely within its fiduciary responsibility according to RS 25215, which entrusts the governance of the library system to the board. Seeking additional information before committing parish resources to a major building project is not a delay for its own sake, it's due diligence. Due diligence that is required when you are the head of the library or the library director and tell the mayor as of February 18th parish council meeting that the board only had the information for a few hours. Our request for more information was not obstruction, but rather an essential part of ensuring that any decision about the new library facility is made wisely and in long-term best interest of the people of our community. I apologize for droning on, but it's the facts. The last section of the comment by the Mayor President that I would like to address, and I quote, "So in the delay, what the board has been doing since 2019 is jockeying with the community back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We can talk about delay, but when I heard indefinitely delayed is when I stepped in, again being the mayor, asking him, again being the parish attorney, what the disposition of this government was. This is our facility. The library board doesn't have the legal authority to open a checking account, much less own a building. We are liable. It's my name that goes on the contract. It's much bigger than a committee making a decision. It's a legal part of this government of which I am the administrator, being the mayor, and you are those, being the parish council, that decides how the money is spent. So we all have a higher level of responsibility when making decisions than any of the boards that we appoint today. Sorry," close quote. Let's talk, number one, statutory authority. Louisiana law is clear on the governance of parish libraries. RS 25215 provides that, and I'm quoting from the law, "The Board of Control shall have authority to establish rule and regulation for its own government and that of the library. This statute entrusts the Library Board of Control with fiduciary and operational responsibility for that library system. The parish council and the mayor, president, hold important responsibilities in appropriations, contracting, and liability. But the law places the governance of the library itself, its policies, rules, and operation in the hands of the board. Number two, collaboration required by law and good governance. Because a new library facility involves both public funding and operational deployment, no single body can or should make the decision unilaterally. The mayor's office and the council provide contracting authority, ensuring legality of expenditures and assume liability on executing agreements. The library board of control provides oversight of how dedicated library funds are spent and ensure facilities align with the missions and the needs of the library system. This arrangement establishes a check and balance system, the very nature of government. The governing authority cannot appropriate and contract effectively without library input, and the library cannot fulfill its fiduciary duties without the participation in that site planning. Number three, leveraging professional expertise. Beyond the statutory framework, I think it's good process, and it dictates that the planning of a site and the selection of a new library draws on the skills and talents and professional ability of many of our very talented staff and administration. The library board brings fiduciary oversight and direct accountability to taxpayers for the library system. We're accountable to the taxpayers. The library staff and administration contribute specialized expertise in space planning, technology integration, children's and adult services, and long-term sustainability of facilities in a given location. The mayor's office ensures compliance with parish contracting rules and fiscal stewardship. Excluding any of these partners diminishes the overall quality and effectiveness of the outcome as a whole. Conclusion. For these reasons, the planning, timing, and site selection of the new library facilities must be a collaborative process between the mayor's office, the parish council, and the library board of control. This is not only required by statute, in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer. We're working with Mr. Stewart on that one. But it is also the only way to ensure that taxpayer funds are invested wisely in a facility that is both sound and operationally effective. To that end, the board has conducted an internal diligence study using a clear decision framework, because to date, nothing has been given to us or to the administration, to my knowledge. Ms. Danny, have you received anything from the mayor's office on any type of study or any type of information about the selection of the site, the new site? Okay. So we've commissioned our own internal diligence study with the framework of the following: access to people in transit, equity and community benefit, safety, risk, and resilience, site readiness and deliverability, synergies and strategic fit, and overall cost consideration. We look forward to sharing this framework with the full board as a precursor to what we hope will be a renewed spirit of collaboration between the board, the mayor president's office, and the parish council. Mayor president, as the vice president of the board of trustees, I respectfully call upon your office to open direct communication with the board president and myself so that together we can move forward in this project for the good of our community and build this library.
Before you move on, may I make a comment?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay. To point out, on August the 19th, when Mayor President did say that the board said they were going to indefinitely defer the project, August 19th is when she said that. This board made a decision to recommend a building plan on March 17th. So how can the mayor even say that this board was deferring the project when on March 17th, months before August 19th, we made a decision? All that was left was for parish council approval and mayor president approval and her signature on that contract. We would have already been breaking ground on the Northeast Library. People came to our meetings time and time again, accusing us of delaying things, yelling, screaming, calling us racist, cabal, Nazis, a few other names, okay? I don't hear, I have not heard one of these people who had the audacity to call us these names say anything negative to the mayor president for delaying the project. It's still delayed, okay? So why isn't it a problem? The other thing is, on March the 17th, the LCG's attorney reminded this board that land was purchased for the library and that there was a contract with the Zeiler architect to build the library. Well, on April the 29th, Mayor President pulled the library from this board. She decided that she was going to move the library to a different property. So my question is this. If she moved the library to a different property without public meeting or with us in public, does she really have that authority to do that? And the Zeiler contract, the Zeiler architects, they had a contract to build the library. Are they still going to be the ones who are building this library? Or did she remove them from the picture and put someone else in place to build the library? If she did do that, who did she put in place to build the library? What conversations are taking place? How does this board even fit into the picture of the Northeast Library from this point moving forward? I'd like those questions answered. You know, another thing, why trust this board to take care of every other library and deal with contracts that our library staff brings to this board for approval? Why trust us with all these other 8 libraries, but you're not going to trust us with this one library that we took the time to do our homework, research, put thought in it to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the public? And I am going to go on the record saying it's not wise to spend taxpayer money building a multi-million dollar facility on land we do not even own. It doesn't make common sense to me. We had property. The excuse used on April 29th was that there was accessibility challenges. And that struck me really funny because I kept thinking, I know I would not have made a decision to purchase that land had I not been satisfied that it would have served the people in Northeast Lafayette well. So I went and I did my own homework, and I went back to my very first meeting here as a library board member, June 19, 2023. And I asked the question, is this property, the Shadow Bluff property, going to serve the citizens in Northeast Lafayette well? The vice president at the time was leading the meeting that night, and he said, yes, it meets all of the requirements. It is located, as it is located right off of Louisiana Avenue, which is not far from the property that the board tried to negotiate purchasing, which is near Infinity College. Government leaders and community leaders were on board at the time, because at that same meeting, we were also looking at the LPSS property right across the street from Shadow Bluff. And he thanked, James Thomas thanked Councilman A.B. Rubin, Josh Carlson, Centani, and one other person, I cannot remember who it was, but thanked them for their time and collaboration in engaging in a conversation as we all need to work together. Something that the mayor president told us, this board, at our meeting on March the 17th, that we needed to create a dialogue and work together, the three entities, this board, the council, and the mayor president's office. Yet she turns around a month later without discussing it with us and pulls the project for reasons that are not valid. There is no accessibility challenge. There might be some for some people. There are ways to get there. And her reason for saying that the board was deferring the project, it's not a valid reason. Thank you. One last thing. I just want to remind everybody. I listened to a video, I watched a video where Mayor President was given an address for the 2024 State of the Parish address. And if I heard right, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, she said that she was moving forward with the I-49 connector. And she's getting it close to where there's something that's going to happen with that. If they build that I-49 connector as it is designed currently, there should not be a barrier for people getting to Main Library from the northeast side of town. So that's something that I would like to have a conversation about and discussion about, because Holy Rosary is about a mile, give or take, maybe more than a mile, less than two, I think, from Main Library. How are we going to justify having two multi-million dollar libraries less than 2 miles from each other if there is no barrier? So I'd like to have that conversation and, you know, just clear up some things. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ella, for all those thoughts and for all those reasons why we are respectfully asking the Mayor President to please re-engage the board into this process. We believe that we can provide valuable insight along with all of our administration and staff, and we believe it is the right thing to do for our community. So unless there are any other comments, I'm going to move into presentation, Mr. President.
Well, one other comment, if we can, so we can hear clearly, could we refrain from making gestures and noise if possible so we can all hear clearly? I would really appreciate that if you guys can do that so we can get a good understanding. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Okay, up on the screen we have a presentation that Ms. Dawn put together for us and compiled all the information. Thank you for taking the time to do that. As well as Danny and Larry, everybody was kind of putting in some input here. We want to just look at from 2019 to 2014, kind of an overarching culmination of the state of our Lafayette Public Library system. We want to look at the utilization, programming side, the staffing side, our revenue, expenditures, just kind of really get a pulse on how things are going. So let's first look at the utilization analysis. Again, I apologize, my voice is a little hoarse. I'm trying to keep it lubricated here. So from a utilization perspective, 2019 to 2024, you can see, oh wow, it's really hard to see. Can y'all see that? Okay, there we go. 2019 to 2024, library visits have seen fluctuations over the years, with the most notable decrease in 2020. Obviously, we all know why. However, due to the extensive programming efforts, which I was blown away by and very excited to be able to be the one to share all the hard work that our staff and our administration have done here. But due to all these efforts in community outreach, 751,137 patrons visited our library in 2024 compared to 691,266 patrons visiting in 2019. This increase demonstrates the resurgence after post-COVID and the public interest and involvement within our library. Very excited to see that. Want to look at a little bit of the programming and the services. And although I'm a board member, I'm not aware of every program that we do. I looked at a lot of them kind of going through this, and I was blown away at all of the work and the programming that we put together. So some of our programming initiatives include all the children, the teens, adult programming, all of our outreach, enhanced library attendance. Participation in the events grew by 13% from 2019 to 2024, showcasing that our vital role in creating programs which fosters community connection. It brings people together. It gives people a place to come and to connect and feel like they're a part of something that is bigger than themselves, and they're able to give back. So we'll look at the next screen where we look at the programming attendance, the 2019 versus the 2024. So you can see down here at the bottom kind of the legend. The gray is the adult attendance. The orange is the teen. And, of course, the blue is massive. It's the children's attendance. And so what we see is in 2019 we had 67,302 with a 13% increase to 75,997. Now, why is that significant? Because in 2019 to 2024, the Lafayette Parish population change was only about 4.5%. So it's not like that was just organic growth that came into Lafayette, and Lafayette grew and got much larger, and so that's why we had more participation. No, it was because of the hard work of all the programming that our librarians and our administrative staff go and work on budgets and ask the council for more money, which Danny just did, to expand programming even more, to be able to reach out into the community. Danny, thank you for going and doing that. And so from that perspective, I looked at this, and I don't know how you interpret that, but I see all them children, and I'm like, good Lord, what were the parents doing at that time? Where did the kids come from? So I asked Danny, I said, Danny, from the adult programming, you know, who's attending? Is that just the parents with their kids are here? So they're like, oh, I got nothing better to do, so I'm going to go learn basket weaving. And I'd like Danny to kind of respond with who is attending these adult programming classes?
Children or adults?
The adults. Who's attending the adults? Is it just the parents, or is it senior citizens? Is it, what is it?
It's not the parents for the most part, because the programs are being offered later in the afternoon and in the evenings. So it's a mixture of age groups, but it's not just the parents who are waiting for their kids to get out of children's programs.
That's awesome. To me, that's important, because we're not just appealing just to the children, but they're doing the hard work, they're analyzing the metrics and the data, and they're really advocating to reach all age groups within our community. And so I was very impressed by these numbers and very excited to see them. So let's talk a little bit about the children's programming. Our library provides a rich array, as you can see here, programming for children, including story time, summertime reading, educational workshops. These initiatives promote literacy, creativity, and a love for reading amongst young patrons, significantly boosting participation each year. In our adult workshops, there's a variety of workshops and events that cater to more of our specific adult learners, including technology, training, book clubs, and health seminars at the library. It's phenomenal. It blows my mind. We're going to go through some of them here in a minute. I was so pleasantly, I just couldn't understand how we as a library are able to reach that many people in the community, not just with giving the resource of books, but providing something for them to come and plug into as we're able to give back. I was so excited to see that. Teen programs. We recognize the importance of engaging our teenagers through targeted programs like arts, crafts classes, creative writing, gaming opportunities. I was walking through the library earlier before the meeting and saw a couple of guys gaming on the computers. This commitment fosters skill development and a sense of belonging for the young adults within our community. One of the really popular things that we have is our makerspace. And you can see on the screen here the amount of 3D prints, laser cuts, vinyl cuts. You know, you don't have to go buy your own laser cutter. You don't have to go buy your own 3D printer. You can go online and use a free 3D CAD program. And then we have librarians that are smart enough and understand that part of technology to train a young person how to take an image from in their minds, put it into a 3D world on a CAD system, and translate that into something that a 3D printer can understand, and foster ingenuity and the desire to engineer. And I've, in talking to some of them, seen where they come and they do multiple prints because the first one wasn't what they thought it was going to be. And so they're iterating on their design and they're improving their design, which we're training young people how to be better productive members of society, how to go and be an inventor and solve a problem that's out there that can help millions of people right here at our libraries. Let's look at our programming statistics. It was a big increase. In 2019, we had 2,872, not people attending, programs in 1 year, 2,872. In 2024, we had 3,972 programs. Y'all, we don't have 30 libraries. We only have really 8 functioning libraries, and then we have, you know, Butler, which has some in and outs and different things of this nature. That's a 38% increase in programs offerings. Guys, I just want to tell y'all, thank y'all. I think that's phenomenal. Let's look at a few of them on the next slide. We have book talks. We have Mommy and Me Tea, diamond painting, simple sewing, line dancing. Anybody later in life always wanted to line dance? You know, hey, we got line dance. Y'all, we have fencing. We have fencing. You want to learn how to fence? You can come and learn how to fence. As we look at the next screen, 2024, 3,972 programs offered through 8 branches. Here we are: adult programming, fencing, line dancing, charcoal painting, whatever, mahogajaga less. I don't even know what that is. What is that? Is that like a Zumba? Okay, I don't even know what that is. Genealogy programs, teen programs, snack attack, teen art lab. I mean, the list is just downright exciting in what our library is providing for our community to be able to come and plug into. Listen, the job is to provide resources. The job is to provide books for the community to come and be able to check out when they need. In my opinion, this is so far above and beyond the call of duty, 3,972. And I asked Danny this question because I didn't know how long each one lasts, but typically they're about an hour or so. And so what a beautiful thing that our library is doing. Another great initiative, and I apologize, my voice is going out here. Collaboration with the schools, all Lafayette Parish school systems, UL Lafayette, South Louisiana Community College students, faculty, and staff IDs all serve now as a library card. This collaboration fosters educational enrichment and enhances access to all public library collections, programs, and services and benefits for the entire community. In other words, they don't have to go get an additional library card. They use their school ID, and they come straight into our system. And that was something that Mr. Galane started years and years ago and then picked back up as he came back into the directorship, and he and the team did a great job in bringing that all the way across the finish line from little kids in elementary school, high school, all the way up to our college and higher learning education. So let's look at, and we're almost finished here, financial overview and staffing. Revenue. The Lafayette Public Library System revenue comes obviously from various sources. Our total revenue from all sources was $11,105,381 in 2019. And in 2024, it was $14,505,376. As we go to the next screen, you see our operational and our maintenance expenditures. The total cost to operate and maintain all of our libraries in total 9, getting ready to go to 10 here before too long, is in 2019 was $12,202,781. In total for 2024 was $10,858,568. So we were at a deficit in 2019, but due to great austerity principles and a team that is constantly being vigilant over the budget, we had a surplus in 2024. Now, running this many libraries and this many facilities, y'all, we have big facilities. One roof is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Elevator system is on the fritz. We're not sure if we need a new one yet or we're just going to swap parts. But, that's multiple hundreds of thousands, maybe into over seven figures, right? So it's expensive to run and to maintain these library systems properly. But I just want to celebrate our staff and our admin because they're doing a phenomenal job at making sure that we stay in budget. Thank you guys and ladies very much. As we kind of round third here, let's look at staff statistics. The American Library Association disaffiliation. Many of our staff continue to find, I know there was a lot of public concern with us disassociating, but here are the facts. Many of the staff continue to find high quality alternatives for continuing education, including attending the Louisiana Library Association Conference, the State Library of Louisiana Workshop, and the Texas Library Association Conference. Our disaffiliation with the American Library Association does not appear to have hampered our ability to attract and hire high-quality staff. We've hired three new external librarians with the MLIS degrees in the past 11 months and have reduced our total staff vacancies from 14 down to just 5. And I know we were having a few more interviews, so are we still at 5 or we're at 3 or where are we? Okay, so here, obviously, today's Monday, end of this week, we'll have 3 more. So we're going to be at 2, a deficit of just 2, right? I think, again, that's a testament to a team, an admin team, executive team that is just doing a great job running our library. So as we kind of wrap up, the state of the Lafayette Public Library system is strong. It looks great. We're excited about our future, the Northeast Regional Library coming hopefully in fall of 2028. Hopefully we'll fast track that and get it going as quickly as we possibly can. And I know that there's a summary page, but I've definitely talked a lot and I don't have much of a voice left. So I want to thank you for your time, for your attention. Again, I do apologize for the droning on of the nature of some of the information that had to didactically be brought out, but at the end of the day, it was necessary because now it's on public record of what the truth is and what the verifiable facts are. And if anyone has any questions, we can definitely entertain those after the meeting. So with that, Mr. Kelly, I'll turn it back over to you.
I believe that's worth a hand clap, Mr. Allen, for doing a great job. With that, let me also say, with all of these great resources, with all the information out there, it's really hard to, this proves that the library has been doing great financially, programs are doing great. We have the best staff in the world, and we're going to continue to progress forward. So, again, thank you, staff. Larry and Danny and Dawn, all you guys. All right, so we're going to move on to the next part of our meeting. It's going to be the director report.
Okay, so in the last few weeks, we went live with the University of Louisiana ID cards and the South Louisiana Community College ID cards. So that actually brings us when you factor in that UL and South Louisiana Community College faculty and staff and students and the LPSS students, we're reaching 54,000 people should they decide to use the library. And we were the first public library in Louisiana and currently the only public library in Louisiana that is doing this with a university and or a college. There's about 7 that are doing it with their public school systems. We are in the process of expanding our digital newspaper coverage for better Louisiana coverage and some national coverage, and we're expanding access to our regional historic newspapers. We're in the process of being able to provide wireless printing for the people coming into the library. We're marching forward on a marketing blueprint. I think we're going to hear about money this week. On the 18th of October, we'll be celebrating the 10th birthday for the East Regional Library on Saturday the 18th from 11 to 3. Tell your friends, go. The Lafayette Public Library Foundation is generously funding this endeavor. And the council approved the budget. And that's it.
Awesome. Thank you. And the Assistant Director report, Ms. Dawn.
All right. Lately, we have had a lot of highly qualified applicants and employees wanting to promote within our system. We've been able to fill our vacancies pretty quickly. We've been doing a lot of rotating through the promotions, which have opened up lower-level vacancies. But recently, Dante Rabo was hired as an LA1 at Maine, and Garland Terrio was hired as our community relations specialist. We concluded interviews on Friday to fill three LTA1 positions at North, East, and West. We had a retirement, a 10-year retiree, Jessica Hawkins, retired from the Lafayette Public Library recently, which resulted in an additional LTA3 vacancy. So currently, we have two LTA3 vacancies and one librarian, one vacancy at South. I consider that a wonderful accomplishment. In August, I attended the Friends Monthly Board meeting and the Bayouland meeting. In July, we had a total of 76,258 patrons visit our libraries or use our drive-throughs. We had 139,950 total checkouts, and we had 10,497 patrons attend over 390 programs that we offered. The bookmobile made 26 stops and had 424 patron visits, and 56 homebound deliveries were made. Our stats in August were down, as they are each year, due to the students returning to school. We had a total of 66,020 patrons visit our libraries. We had 133,460 total checkouts, 5,260 patrons attending 275 programs. The bookmobile, although it was in the shop some, made 16 stops and had 166 patron visits, and 47 homebound deliveries were made. And beginning this month, the bookmobile will be making morning and afternoon stops, which should increase its impact in the community. We had a full staff meeting on Thursday, August 14th here at Maine, and I received a lot of positive feedback from staff about the keynote speaker and the wonderful sessions facilitated by some of our staff. And then I want to remind you that the Friends of the Lafayette Public Library will be hosting their annual fall book sale at the Hyman Center beginning tomorrow through Saturday.
Thank you for that. All right, Mr. Larry, facility and financial updates.
All right. As it relates to our facility projects, the main elevator modernization project is moving forward. Zeiler Architects is quite fast. He submitted plans and specifications for review for the Public Works Department and myself. The updated estimated cost is now approaching $1.5 million, so we're going to shift another $500,000 towards this project. As it relates to South Region Library, the renovation projects, we're still waiting on HVAC equipment to be manufactured and installed. A lot of manufacturing delays in this industry. The roof replacement of the South Regional Library has gone out for bid. We received bids on September 11th, 2025. The low bidder was Pellerant and Wallace at a low bid of $541,258, which is really good. Initial estimates for this project was $926,000. And was also impressive that we had, I think, 11 bids. It was very competitive. That's a good sign for the government and bid projects. As it relates to the North Regional Library renovation project, plans and specifications have been approved. Project is sent out for bid. A pre-bid meeting took place at the Public Works Administration Building on September 4th. We took contractors' questions, and we are addressing them in an addenda. Our bid opening for this project is scheduled for October 9th. So that project is finally moving forward. We're making plans on moving out of the building, our existing building, so that project can take place, hopefully starting in the fall of this year. The project will take about a year to complete. And no other updates.
Thank you, Mr. Larry.
Mr. President, I have a question for me. This is Larry. Two questions. Number one, on the modernization project for the elevator, can you speak a little bit more to that? Is it actual a modernization of the existing, or does the 1.5 actually be putting in new elevators?
It's
yes.
It's yes. No. It's not a complete replacement. They're not taking out frames and that type of stuff, but the majority of the components are being replaced. Okay. Yeah, this gotcha. Is.
Wait, I want to piggyback off of that, but isn't this more than the estimated amount to replace the elevator? So why wouldn't we replace it with a brand new elevator?
Well, the estimate was from a contractor, and it was just a budgeting purpose estimate. It's just to get us started.
But will it cost more than purchasing a brand new one?
No, it would be way more costly to go that route.
To purchase a brand new one?
It is new. Components are new. The basic structure stays the same. Everything else is gutted. The to rip out framing, to open up elevator chute walls, you're adding a lot more money. It's as far as we could go without destroying the building, basically, gutting the building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. But the initial estimates were rough budget numbers from Schindler Elevator. Didn't involve architects, didn't involve subcontractors. It was a starting point. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. As it relates to financial report, I've included with your packet financial report for the current fiscal year 2025, which runs November 1st, 2024 through October 31st, 2025. We're wrapping up the fiscal year here. We have some deadlines in place through LCG on when we can, you know, when we have to stop purchases and have all invoices in. But as of September 11th, our revenues were $15.3 million and our expenses were at $12.4
million. All right, thank you. All right, moving on to the approval of the minutes of the August 4th meeting.
Mr. President.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, when I reviewed the minutes, I wanted to know if we could add something to the section on the August 4th minutes. It's section 6, approval of minutes. When you look at it, we were voting on two separate meeting minutes. And when you look at it, there's no separation between the two. So right underneath the title, I was going to ask that we add A, approval of minutes of the June 23rd, 2025 regular board meeting, and then you'd have the information for that motion. And then right under where it says the motion carried, to add B, approval of minutes of the July 14, 2025 special meeting. And then it would have all the information under that. It would separate both of them at a glance. My eyes are getting old. It's hard for me to see.
Yeah. So it kind of ran together.
Okay. Exactly. And this just defines separation between the two.
Board meeting. Okay. So Is there a motion to?
I guess I'd like to make a motion that we accept the minutes from August 14th with the addition of titles for each minutes that were approved. Is that good enough, Stuart, to say it that way?
Yeah, just for subsections, to make subsections A and B, one for the first meeting and one for the second meeting.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion.
I second that motion.
A motion and a second. Any public comments on that? Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Okay. The ayes have it and the motion carries. All right, we're going to move on to new business with the library book discard. The board is actually take action related to disposition of books.
Mr. President, I'd like to request that from Mr. McGillane, and if I have to put this in a motion with the board, please let me know, that when we get the reports, that we get them in alphabetical order, like for our library, and the books that are being discarded in alphabetical order. When I looked at the report, it was like West, North, Maine, all mixed up with the books. It's just easier for me to read and understand things. I'd like to see what library is doing what. I'm just curious. So if we put it to where all Maine's books are in one section, alphabetized, and then, you know, for each library, it just flows better.
I thought they were divided by a library branch.
Not the report that I saw, unless I missed it.
I thought they were divided, but maybe I missed it. Maybe
I'll look, but okay. That's how they were being sent to you, is divided by library.
And you did, and so when I looked at it this time, it was different. I'm like, okay, so. Okay.
So if that happened, that was a mistake, and okay. That's not how it's supposed to come.
Okay.
We had been separating them by library because when we started providing the list, the board had asked if we could have them separated by library.
Okay.
So, yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Then I'd like to make a motion for the library to discard 5,094 books having been out of use for over a year due to the books being superseded, obsolete, unused, or otherwise unnecessary.
I second that. We have a motion and a second. Any comments? Okay, thank you. All right, all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
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 Abstain.
Wait, you would need four votes to pass this.
Okay.
Even though we have quorum with four, it wouldn't be a majority.
Under the rules.
Okay. I'm not going to change my vote, so we'll hold it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we just stays away.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Motion good eye, Stuart.
Okay. The motion is denied.
Good catch.
Right. Just the announcements, just a reminder about the next library board meeting will be October 20th, 2025. Also a reminder of the yearly ethics trainings on sexual harassment training must be completed by December 31st, 2025. We're going to move to comments from the public on any other library matter not on this agenda. Ready, set, go.
Just a couple of things. My name is Margaret Okris.
Margaret.
I'm a stakeholder in the parish of Lafayette. I want to first say to Stuart Brough, you did not deserve the vile comments from Robert Judge the night when he advised this board to move against legal advice. That's never a good idea, and it was never smart that night or any other night. I also would like to point out that Mayor President Monique Boulay made it very clear she makes the decisions whether or not this board agrees. The board is an advisory board only. While she appreciates the board's efforts and all the things you guys do in a voluntary way, you guys know what your position is, and it's an advisory one. She doesn't have to listen to a word you say. Nothing. Thank you.
Lynette Mejia, Lafayette Parish. I have a couple of things I'd like to address with you all tonight. First of all, I think it's laughable that you are requesting respect for one another and for the First Amendment at this meeting when you literally just settled a First Amendment lawsuit. The judge in that case was appointed by President Trump. So presumably you would respect his opinion. And he found that members of this board unequivocally denied members of the public their First Amendment rights. So maybe you've turned over a leaf and you've learned something, but from my point of view, you've been forced to respect the First Amendment. You thanked Danny for going to the council to ask for more money, which is interesting because multiple members of this board have gone before the parish council, and I've been there to hear it, to ask that the council take money away from the library by rolling back millages, not rolling millages forward, reducing millage rates that are collected for library programs and the library budget in this parish. So I found that interesting. And finally, I just want to mostly say, you don't need to sell this library and how amazing it is to us. You ask us, who are the adults who come to these programs? That's us. That's us. We hold cards. We come to these programs. That's why we've come here month after month, year after year, to fight for this library, because we already knew how amazing it was. That's why we fight for funding for this library. That's why we fight so hard to make sure you remember that this library is for everyone, not just people who look and sound like you. And I've always wondered, you know, some of the people that get appointed to this board, I've wondered if you even have library cards. Have you ever been to a program? The fact that you have no idea how long programs last tells me probably not. And also tells me that you wanted to be on this board because you wanted it to be a political football, not because you particularly cared about the library. Thank you.
Melanie Champagne, Lafayette Parish, also attendee of lots of library events. So I just want to start off tonight. I'm very thankful for the seriousness that the recent tragedies have been with our disagreements. And I regret that we didn't hear about Melissa Hortman, who also lost her life and was assassinated in her home with her husband because of someone pretending to be a police officer, assassinating her in her home. I'm very glad that you guys are turning a new leaf and wanting to be excited about our library. want to talk about peace. And in that same spirit, since we have said goodbye to Robert Judge, who was insistent on changing the library mission statement, taking out the word diversity and free, in the spirit of peace, in a spirit of togetherness and community, I would ask, and I have asked for, I think, a year or maybe even more, with no response, no reasoning for why we would take those words out of the mission statement, unless you don't like diversity. I really don't see any other reason why you would take that word out. And so in the spirit of peace and community, we ask that you restore the library mission statement. It just calls for it. There's no reason for it. And since the person who advocated for it is no longer on the board, I think that it might be time for you guys to do what is right for the community, for the spirit of our library system, that you restore that mission statement to include diversity. That's all. Thank you.
Hello, Stephanie Armbruster, Lafayette Parish. Thank you for your service. Of course, I appreciate that very much, and it's nice to be on this side of the seats this time. And thank you so much for presenting the facts and correcting the facts, and I encourage you to continue to do that, including some of the comments to correct the comments that were made tonight. I came here specifically for Robert, because this was his last night. I wanted to give back to him what he did for me. So I do want to go on record, even though he's not here, with my comments. But I also, as I read my statements, please think how this applies to you, because now you carry the torch. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. In 2018, God called you, Robert, to speak out publicly to defend the innocence of children, and you said yes. A couple of years later, God called you to serve on the library board, and again you said yes and you understood what your mission was. As the world tried to sexualize our children, you said no, and the world didn't like it. As the world tried to intimidate and bully you, you said no. As they tried to cancel you and have you removed from the board, you said no. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will place thee over many things. So, Robert, thank you for your leadership, your commitment, your fortitude, and for also serving with me. And Robert's closing remarks to me was a special prayer that I want to reciprocate, especially to him. And then also, I think it's very fitting for you guys. I prayed for you too. In the words of Charlie Kirk, this is the answer to toxic feminism. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventri tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Christ is King. Thank you, Robert.
Melanie Brevis.
Melanie Brevis, Lafayette Parish. First, I would like to note that at the July meeting, I had to bring my 12-year-old daughter along to the meeting. Excuse me, my husband was out of town. I wasn't sure how long I would be gone, so I brought her to the meeting. And I am so, so grateful that she was not exposed to Robert Judge while she was at that meeting. Because if there is anything in this library that is a danger to other people, it is him. I would also like to offer up a moment of silence to Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark, who, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, were killed in a murderous rampage that terrorized the state of Minnesota and was not mentioned tonight. And along with that, they also tried to murder John Hoffman and his wife. I would also like to offer up the name David Rose, who was the police officer who was killed in the senseless CDC shooting. I also want to address comments made by Alan Moore at the May meeting when he asked Danny and Larry, in response to my comments, in great puzzlement if anyone had ever referred to the library as being in a financial crisis, and they obediently shook their heads no. Well, that's not true. At the January 25th, 2021 meeting, Stephanie Armbruster said that the library was in a dire condition with finances, right before she voted to reject a grant that would have brought money to the library. Maybe she didn't use the word crisis, but I think we can agree that dire condition with finances is a pretty good synonym. At the January 10th, 2022 meeting, the board voted to do away with Sunday hours, citing the deficit of approximately $700,000. If the library still had all three of their millages, plus the $10,000 that was taken from the budget in 2029, there wouldn't have been that discussion to make cuts in order to afford the Northeast branch. At the March 21st, 2022 meeting, former board member Landon Boudreaux cited the deficit as a reason for making changes to the Bayou land policy. Josh Carlson, former councilman, said at the April 4th, 2023 meeting, quote, when this council took office 3 years ago, which was 2020, after the library lost the millage and the $10,000 or $10 million, this library system was running a $2 million plus per year deficit, meaning that we had enough funds to operate the library successfully for 4 years, and then we wouldn't be able to operate the library system, which sounds like a crisis in the making. But again, he neglected to mention that those actions were made, or that situation was created, after Lunsford led the push to have the one millage defeated and also led the push to have the $10 million moved. Further, Danny Jelaine confirmed in an August 2023 Advocate article that he helped erase a $1.3 million deficit that was caused by the millage failure. Thank you.
Tom Hodak, oops. Lafayette, Louisiana. At the May Border Control meeting, Ms. Arsamaugh requested that the mission statement be placed on the screen, which it was, and the conclusion was that no one is excluded from the Lafayette Public Library. I respectfully beg to differ. I think we need to look at the definition from Webster's dictionary. It's excluded is to prevent or restrict the entrance of or bar from participation, consideration, or inclusion. From the Oxford Dictionary, to deny someone access or to bar someone from a place, group, or privilege. Privilege, inclusion, participation, consideration all fall under the definition of exclusion. I think exclusion has been going on for years with the Board of Control. Ms. Melanie pointed out earlier, excluded from the mission statement are the words free, equal, and diverse. January 2021, the board rejected a grant to facilitate an expert's presentation of the Voting Rights Act, an exclusion of a black history professor from UL that we are supposedly collaborating with. I think the reason was because we couldn't find a counter speaker, but that would be somebody that would be want to revert back to Jim Crow era and voting, all the voting atrocities and prevention. Yeah. April 21st, the first attempt to change the mission statement. June 21st, the first attempt to ban and exclude Pride Month displays. July 2021, the BOC elects not to request the parish council to roll forward on current millages, excluding a revenue stream. February 22, an attempt to exclude all librarians from the Materials Reconsideration Committee, amended to being two board members and one library, still excluding one member, the librarian, from voting majority. February 2022, removal and the arrest of an LGBT advocate for speaking one word out of town, exclusion of First Amendment rights. After the arrest, a credentialed journalist was excluded from returning to the meeting. March 22, because of a strapped budget, revenue increased to charging parents pay out of parish residents for library cards, something that's been in place for 50 years. March 22nd, I'm not gonna be able to finish it, it just goes on and on. Although her right under the First Amendment right, a Northeast Library Committee member was excluded from that committee for criticizing a board member. June to be concluded next month.
Thank you.
Virginia McWhorter.
Is this okay? Okay. Virginia McWhorter, Lafayette Parish, since 1969. I've attended many of these meetings, particularly over the last several years. I just want to commend the current board and previous members also who have served for being able to sit here and have your motivations being questioned oftentimes rather than having facts being presented. There was too much emotional outburst. It took away from time given towards conducting business. As a elderly person now, especially, I don't really like having to be out at dark and sit through endless comments that are based on one person's or several people's opinions and listening to very confrontational opinions sometimes and then being accused of other people having opinions that are given very devious interpretations. So primarily, I just want to get that out, but my main purpose is just to commend y'all for the hard work you've been doing, particularly recently. Your presentation tonight, while you kept apologizing for facts, I don't think you have a thing to apologize for. And I would commend all of our members that have come on recently for the hard investigative work that they're doing and presenting it to us. Thank you.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Drive home safe.